Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We bought and sold and sort of crept through the property market, picking up different styles of properties that we thought we could make money on the way through. And that led us actually to opening our real estate company. It was...
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors, find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategy. In this episode, we're joined with Alice and Justin Hagen, co-founders of Caliber Real Estate and Take Care Long experts in property management. The Hagens share how they went from missed opportunities to success in managing others' properties. They also show listeners how opening a business is more often than not worth the risk. Also, before we delve into this episode, go over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property investor case studies, where you'll learn how to generate passive income from your properties. Go there now to sign up for free. On a day-to-day basis, the Hagens have their hands tied with their business. The couple are focused with providing the best strategies to ensure maximum returns for their clients and expanding the reach of their company.
Well, my name is Justin Hagen, obviously co-founder of Caliber Real Estate with my wife Alice. On any given day, we manage a team of 30 people. We look at obviously strategies for our clients as far as, you know, how can we maximise their returns on their properties through our property management division and obviously our sales division.
The focus is growth. We've looked at different models to ascertain that growth, and we've refined it, and our property management division has been changed based on different personalities in our property management industry.
While trying to accommodate for clients' individual needs, the Hagens have been changing their company systems. Whilst they strive to ensure that their clients are comfortable with the way that their property is being managed and that team culture within the company remains strong.
Team is number one. The culture of our office is so critical. But we've just looked at we've been in business now for just under 9 years. And over the past 2 years, we ran with a different model, what we call like a pod or a squad-based property management team, where there was three players, property managers in the one pod, and they all worked together on the same properties. But we just found that some owners and some property managers, it just wasn't the right model for them. So this year we've changed our property management division into catering for our individual needs. So we've got a senior property manager that looks after their own portfolio up to around 140 properties. And then we have a pod that has just around the 300 mark and has three people in their team. So just depending on what our clients' needs are and the individual of our the property management skill set, we have catered, to look after everyone.
The Hagens are also looking to grow the company by bringing more team members and more management into the business as well.
So we've got the facilities currently to manage up to 2,000 in our current location. And the way that we've structured our team, we can easily add additional team members to the current structure without changing too much. So there'll be less change for our clients once we're growing. So we'll still remain that boutique, high customer service model that we started with.
Despite completing a degree in forensic science, Alice's first job was in real estate, inspired by her own grandmother's passion in property.
I grew up in Sydney, in Lynnfield, went to Clara High School, and then met Justin after I was just about to finish my forensic science degree and was just looking at my avenue of, which direction I was going to go down. I loved studying the criminology side of forensics, but I just didn't see a future in that. So I went to a recruiting agency to get a job in real estate because my grandmother from New Zealand really encouraged me to start to get into property when I was quite young. So I looked into that and I actually got recruited. So I actually started my career in recruitment.
Like Alice, Justin also switched career paths from working as an aircraft engineer to working in real estate, having discovered an interest in property investment.
I grew up in Brisbane, on the north side of Brisbane in Everton Hills. Went to Hillbrook Anglican School in Enoggera. I left Brisbane in 2000 to move to Sydney. I got an apprenticeship with Qantas as an aircraft engineer. And, I was down there. And obviously, when I was down there, met Alice. From there, obviously, I did lots of different things in between. But, between aircraft engineering and real estate, obviously, it's quite a big change. But there was plenty of reasons behind it.
Despite their success in the property investment industry, the Hagans claim to have no support from their families, beginning investing together purely due to their combined interest and passion for the field. In spite of their young age, they knew that they were getting into it was long-term.
My dad is heavily invested in shares. The only property he owns is his own house. But I've been a very visual person. I need to see what I'm investing and be able to make changes and improvements myself. That's the way I like to invest. Dad was not an influence in getting to the property market. investing, yes, but not particularly this avenue. My grandmother was just very passionate about, having a portfolio and, just to keep accumulating that way, and just about long term. It's all about the long term goals. It's not about overnight.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And from yourself, Justin?
I just had a passion for it. My parents had an investment, now they have a few investment properties, and I think, when I started, they might have had one. I just had a passion for property. I don't know really where it came from, but I just thought that it was something you could, add value and build wealth. And obviously, reading books, and I'm not a massive reader, but I do have a really big interest in anything investment or property related. So, I was always keen to get involved and I just felt that it was a good, good opportunity and good vehicle, to put my skill sets to work.
For Justin, his transition into real estate from engineering was a huge jump, especially with having no prior experience to the property investment field.
So in between engineering and real estate, that was the transition. But previous to that, obviously, like any young person, lots of different things. So I moved to Sydney when I was 18. So, I worked from when I was 14. I was, mowing people in my street lawn, and then, washing dishes at the local cafe, all those sorts of things. But just nothing really.
Despite their ambitions to buy their first property in Sydney, the couple ended up looking to Brisbane to secure an investment. As young property investors, the Hagans were unable to meet the price of housing in Sydney and moved to Brisbane.
In 2006, we started to look at buying property in Sydney. We were specifically looking around the eastern suburbs areas and just thought, for what you could get at that time, it just... when you're in your young 20s, you just want to have everything all at once. And just wanting to be in that location, we weren't going to compromise. So Justin, originally being from Brizzy, we saw that there was a lot more opportunity to buy closer to the city in Brisbane. So in October 2006, we decided to move to Brisbane, and we bought our first home as well as an investment property within 2 weeks of each other, and still under the price tag of the one property that we're looking at in Sydney. So that's how we started our real estate journey together.
Luckily enough, the couple were able to get job transfers and since then started buying and selling subdivided properties in Brisbane.
We both got job transfers, so we're both with the same company moving up to Brisbane, and yeah, just change of lifestyle, change of scenery, and then into the property industry.
With the portfolio, we've had a number of properties that we've bought, renovated, and unsold, and also bought subdivided, built properties on, and then unsold as well. Small lot subdivisions, things like that were great, I think, and achievable back then when you're first trying to get into it. I think obviously now it's very in high demand, hard to get your hands on, you know, a good subdivision that works really well. You have to be really on your game and have an opportunity and be ready to act straight away, I think, when those opportunities come. So I think we were lucky in that sense that we got into the market, we bought and sold and sort of crept through the property market, picking up different styles of properties that we thought we could make money on the way through. And that led us actually to opening our real estate company. It was purely to sell our own properties and look after our portfolio as far as managing it, as we felt we had, you know, more knowledge than a lot of the people in the marketplace. It was a sort of a turning point when I had real estate agents ringing me, when I wasn't a real estate agent, asking me, you know, what I thought a property was worth, you know, what could be done with the property, et cetera. So I felt that, you know, there was an opportunity and a market for a person with that sort of knowledge to come into the market and have a boutique agency.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve deeper into their journey on how they diverged into creating their own business within the property industry.
Yeah, I think it was a fork in the road, and I think I'd always wanted to have a business.
The biggest lesson learned from missed investment opportunities.
But I just think it's an opportunity missed more than anything, which I think will give, you know, the listeners an opportunity to maybe learn something about that.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Are you looking at buying or investing in property? Like, what are the property hotspots, or how do I start my portfolio? Clever ways to renovate, and how to make an extra $50,000? Whether you're a new or experienced investor, learn from the experts at the Property Buy Expo in Brisbane on the 26th to 27th of May. Use the promo code PI for a free 2-day pass valued at $50. For tickets and more information, visit the website at propertybuyexpo.com.au. Now back to the show. During the start of their investment journey, the Hagans invested only around the Brisbane area, both buying and renting out properties to accumulate profit.
We've mainly been investing around Brisbane. We do have one investment on the Sunshine Coast in the hinterlands. That we've got opportunity for. It's got development potential for up to 7 dwellings on it, which we will look to develop over probably the next 5 years. It does have an existing house that gets an income now with obviously the big wedding trade in the Sunshine Coast hinterland. So it's quite good.
In starting their own property management business, the couple has foregone private property investment, instead opting to devote their time to clients.
So probably in 2010, 2011, we did sell. We had 9 properties, but we did start selling them off to invest more into the real estate agency, just to keep the momentum with the agency.
And the growth, yeah.
Yeah. So we've held on to the first house we ever purchased. We bought it sight unseen in 2006 because we just liked the location that had city views, and it was really close to schools and shops, and this is prior to having children. But we just had a goal that we would knock down that house and build our family home. And last year we did that, and we've just moved into it. So, you know, it's, like I said, it's all about long-term goals. And it's been an 11-year goal for us to do that. So we're all about delayed gratification, and, you know, it's really been exciting to reach that point.
While it is often strange for first-time buyers to purchase an unseen property, the Hagans believed in the property's potential.
I think the thing about the property that we purchased, the first property we purchased, yes, I think it was a bit strange to buy a property sight unseen, but again, what we look for is potential. So when Alice rang me and said, hey, I found this property, we need to go and have a look at it, and it was tentative at the time, and the agent said, look, I've already got offers on it, so, you know, if you want to buy, you know, that's it. So we stood up there on the front lawn, on the footpath of that property, and we both looked out, and we could see the city, and we're like, well, you know, I don't think you go too far wrong, you know, in an area like this. And we've done a lot of research, obviously, in the specific areas, you know, within 5Ks of the city, with a city view. So it was a big risk to take, but I think, you know, obviously it's been a good risk. And I think if you take, you know, a calculated risk based on, you know, the facts and figures and median prices in areas, I think that's, you know, the key to our decision.
The first property was definitely worth the risk, now doubling in value.
$435,000. Whoa, it's just got a new house. We've just built a brand new house on it. So look, if you were to buy that existing house, the same house that we bought, you would probably pay around $1 million for it. It's obviously hard to, you know, calculate what the growth would have been based on putting a new house on it, because, you know, it's not going to give a good idea. But you'd be looking around that $1 million for a similar property now.
The Hagans currently own a portfolio of almost $5 million and are expecting it to grow as they look for more properties to purchase.
The portfolio is probably worth around $4.5 million, I would say, $4.5 to $5 million. It's always hard to... I try not to sit down and calculate, you know, exactly where they are, because obviously most of it's a long-term strategy. There's commercial building in that as well. So, you know, obviously commercial is affected by yields and so forth. So, yeah, I think, you know, based on the current situation around that figure.
And what are your plans for this portfolio?
Look, we're actually going to get back into the growth stage of our portfolio. I'm looking, you know, we're looking to purchase. I've got a bit of a strategy that we've been having a chat about regarding buying properties in specific suburbs that have potential to put new dwellings on down the track, and it doesn't necessarily need to be a subdivision, but just areas that we see they're going to have good growth, that have got a house that can be rented out in its current condition, and then, you know, look at developing that property, even if it's just a single house, you know, in a 5 to 10 year period. So that's the strategy we're looking at the moment, and yeah, just in the stages of planning for that.
The couple's property portfolio did not come easy. As like all property investors, they made mistakes and were forced to pay the price.
I just think it's an opportunity missed more than anything, which I think will give, you know, the listeners an opportunity to maybe learn something about that. So we had a property that we subdivided. It was a great property in the sense that we could subdivide it without having to move the original property. So it was a corner block. I think off the top of my head, it was about a 920 square metre block. I had a brick and tile house on the corner, and then we cut off a 405 or 402 square metre block off the back, which was great. Obviously, subdivision costs, etc., but no, you know, relocation of the house. So we had an investment there we could rent out whilst we carried out the subdivision. I think the biggest mistake that we made there, and probably less money on the table, was that we actually sold the block of land off. And in hindsight, yes, it was good because obviously, you know, you could pay back some of the mortgage and obviously collect the rent. But I guess depending on what your strategy is at any given time, you know, I think the best capital result would have been to hold the block of land, sell the existing dwelling, and use the funds there to build a new property on that block of land. One, obviously, if you're going to hold the property, you're going to have a better rental return with a new property in that location. You'll get depreciation and obviously a better asset to sell. The house that we ended up keeping was not in great condition, and we didn't really see the need to, you know, spend the money on doing a renovation there because someone would probably demolish it down the track anyway. So I think that was, if I can learn anything, I think it's the main thing is to actually, what is the best long-term result? And I think sometimes short-term you think, oh, well, I want to get that money out and you know, minimise my risk, which is great. But, you know, obviously there's opportunity there if you're in a position to hold that, you know, hold better property.
The couple wanted the quick money and kept the old house rather than its opposing vacant land. Looking back, they believed it would have been benefit them in the long term.
Yeah, we sold off the vacant land, yeah. So we retained the existing house, yeah. In hindsight, I would have sold the house, the existing house, and built a brand new house. Yeah, I would have sold the existing house on the smaller block and built a brand new house on the other block. So then you had a brand new property that would, you know, get a better rental return, better saleable value because it's, you know, a nice contemporary property in that location, and obviously receive depreciation whilst you hold that property.
Unfortunately, during that time, the Hagans could not have held both assets.
At that point in time, no, it wasn't a possibility. And I think that we just took the easy road to sell the block, which is fine. But it's just, yeah, when you look back, you think, you know, by selling that house, we could have, you know, used those funds to easily build the property.
They were introduced to this strategy via their office building neighbours, who are still closely working together with.
I think when we first started getting into subdivision, we've done a few and just going, right. And then especially if they're, for one of them that we did, there was a house on it, and I said to Justin that it was too good just to be demolished. So we went searching for a suitable block that was wide enough to have, you know, just a small section of land that was suitable to have the house, the roof to. So we found one in the neighbouring suburb and were able to have then two vacant blocks of land on the subdivision and then purchase another block to move the house to. So I thought that was a good moment that we decided, and then that's when we did that second subdivision that Justin was just talking about.
Oh, wow. Okay. How did you get into subdivisions initially? Because it's, you know, it's a strategy within itself.
Yes. So when we were setting up the foundations of our real estate agency, we found office space.
Yeah, and the people who were here that we were sharing, they were going to share the office space with a subdivision company. So we got talking with them and then we actually became one of their first clients back then. So, yeah, we've still got a really good relationship now. I do a lot of feasibility studies for their, you know, for subdivisions for him because he does them personally. And yeah, we always talking, you know, at least on a weekly basis about, you know, what's around and what the opportunities are.
In 2010, the Hagans were surprised with an opportunity to start their own company after being approached by both professionals and family members.
It's just a throw in a different direction. We were honestly trying to keep up our developments. The next development that we were going to do in 2010 was to do looking at doing townhouses, a small townhouse development. But then we had friends and family approach us and wanting us to manage or sell their properties. So our time was shifted towards, you know, looking after our own developments to now having our client properties to manage or sell. So yeah, we had a change in direction.
Yeah, I think it was a fork in the road. And I think I'd always wanted to have a business, you know, that I was passionate about. So I think that, you know, if you can use your skill sets and the knowledge that you have to help other clients and obviously be paid for that work, you know, that's great. I think development's great, and I think it's, and investing in property is a great vehicle, but you still have to have something behind you to be able to keep continuing purchasing property. So I thought that if we built this business up, we'd get to a point, which is probably the point in time we are now, that we can go back into that investment cycle and actually grow to a much bigger portfolio than we could have if we just stuck with, trying to leverage off each investment.
As the Hagans give their undivided attention to their clients and their business, they have become less active in property investment.
I think it's tricky to juggle, and I think once you've got clients that rely on you to be providing professional opinions about different things, selling their properties, managing their properties, I think people like to see that you're focused on them and on the core business that they're paying you to do. So I think there has to be a balance, and I think definitely when you're early on in a business, your business takes up 100% of your time, and you really need to focus on it to make it succeed. And then once your business is running well, you have the right systems
and the team
in place, then you've got an opportunity to, again, look at that investment strategy. Of course, you could definitely, I think, keep investing in a smaller level if we didn't have the business. But I think that, you probably would get sidetracked and look for something else anyway.
And then also we've had three children in that time frame too, so that's occupied a little bit of our time.
Yeah.
Thank you to Alice and Justin Hagen, our guests on this episode of Property Investory. For the next appearance, they'll teach listeners about their risk-taking mindset heading into the industry.
Everyone's got a different risk profile, but I think you've got an opportunity to make informed decisions and take, educated risk.
How the independent research brought them profitable returns in the field.
We did a lot of research ourselves, and I think, the main thing is just getting familiar with the current town plan, council's regulations, how long things are going to take to get approved, what issues are you going to come up against, and just all the extra costs involved.
How they overcame their youthful inexperience.
We thought we were young, we could bounce back, we could, just we were high risk and high growth at that stage.
And that's next time in a future episode of Property Investory. Also, if you haven't subscribed to receive your free property case studies that I only send out exclusively via email, then head over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, the strategies, and much more. Simply visit propertyinvestory.com to receive your free case studies. Thanks for listening.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.